buku dollars and having to pay all those taxes back just so a data center could be built. Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I give more credit to people than I should.
some areas are paying five times what property's worth, and you only have to pay back the taxes that you didn't pay. They don't tax you on what your current price is.
Right, and now there's a legislation to try to cap that at 7 years. Only look back 7 years now.
Why? When are they looking back now? I thought it was
all the way back from when you went into Clean and Green.
Oh, I thought there was a time limit on that.
7 years now, but it used to be they can go all the way back. Uh-huh.
So
yeah, this is a tough subject, guys. I don't envy you at all. I don't envy any of us.
All right. So the other thing that I was confused about with the last set of hearings is, and what was brought up in part of this was, the municipality itself is always a party in the hearings.
Conditional use hearing, right? Yes.
And
a special exception, they are, yes. Whenever there's a hearing in front of the zoning hearing board, the parties are the applicant, the municipality, and the protestants.
Okay.
In a conditional use case, the party is the applicant, and the township actually is the deciding body.
Okay, but it's
applicant and protestants.
But
in special exceptions, the township is a party.
Okay, in a conditional use, then, is not the planning commission an interested party?
They are, to the extent of their advisory powers, yes.
Okay, so they use the term that there's a difference in the rules of evidence. What do they mean by that?
Well, what they mean is that the municipality's planning code, under the hearing section, states that formal rules of evidence do not apply to zoning hearings in general, but there cannot be totally irrelevant, immaterial, or similar evidence, like the same thing over and over. Some 10 people get up and say the same thing. So basically, they're encouraging the decision maker, whether it's the zoning hearing board or the township, to relax the rules of evidence, but by the same token, not enter evidence that is totally irrelevant or otherwise inadmissible.
So, in other words, the litigant can't quell all testimony that doesn't seem to be. There's more latitude on what can be heard. Is that what you're?
There is, and where the litigant usually, like, and I did this when I was doing developers work, where you really want to make your stand is on whether someone is a protesting party. Okay, so at the beginning of the hearing, when you're asking people whether they want to be recognized as a party, there's a void year process that takes place that says, basically, well, where do you live? And if they're like 5 miles away from the proposed development, they really don't have adequate standing to be a party. Now, the rules changed a little bit a couple years back in 2012. MPC was changed to allow civic organizations to be parties. So if you had a civic organization such as, say, I'm just throwing this out there, the Save the Santos Farm organization, if they wanted to appear as an organization through council, they would be allowed to be a party. But individual residents that lived 10 miles from the Santos farm might not be.
Well, sticking to the same lines of stuff, when we're in a conditional use hearing and we have our engineer with us, shouldn't the engineer be able to talk representing the township? He is part of the municipality.
He would be sworn in to testify the same way you used to be a zoning officer. Yeah.
All right, 'cause remember with the warehouse hearing, they wouldn't let John speak at all. That's what we were told. And I couldn't buy that.
Not that I recall. I think it was not a matter of speaking. It was whether or not he was going to be giving sworn testimony. Now, if the township engineer is reviewing the reports and reporting to the board as in their position as judges, he's not going to be allowed to testify.
Oh, well, that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
And that makes no sense. Why?
Well, and this is kind of why the Milford Water Authority wants to be reimbursed for their fees, because they had to hire counsel in order to get the questions asked of the experts that needed to be asked, that they thought should have been asked by the township. And everybody gets this idea that the township is a party at a conditional use hearing, and they're not. The township is the deciding, the board of supervisors are the judges, not a party.
Well, and that's why the planning commission should be a party. But if the planning commission's engineer...
Yeah, unfortunately, they're advisory only, so it's not going to fly with the court.
Well, you really want to tie the municipality's hands, huh?
So...
Well, listen, I'm going to tell you something. When I first started doing this about 35 years ago, and this municipality's planning code was relatively new then, in the late 70s, and I looked at it, and I said, boy, an applicant should never get denied on the basis of what's in the code. How could you lose? Any ambiguity in an ordinance goes against the governing body.
Right. Yeah, but not a, you know, in a situation like that, not allowing our engineer to speak when he's got questions that are being brought up at the hearing.
That's why the protestants need to get counsel and hire their own engineer.
But he's advising us. We're the voting body.
Yeah.
We can't listen to our own advice from our own engineer at a conditional use hearing. That's what I'm saying.
During deliberation, if you have an engineering question, you can do so. Deliberations are still, for the most part, executive session. If you invite your engineer in, same way if you have your lawyer there, you could ask questions that pertaining to the evidence.
Okay. But he can't bring it up while the evidence
it's
is
not
being
during
presented.
Hearings, no.
He can't be part of the testimony.
Right.
We're not a party to a conditional use hearing. It's that simple. At the zoning hearings, oh yeah, we're a party.
Just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, we can file an appeal. I've actually had zoning hearing boards deny applications that the township wanted approved, and the township filed an appeal against the zoning hearing board for not following the ordinance. That happened a couple years ago during the warehouse hearing. It's kind of weird. You're filing the appeal on behalf of the township, and you're the appellant, and the appellee is the township zoning hearing board.
So how does the judge look at that?
Oh, they
will they even hear it?
They love the dirty laundry, judges.
Wow.
Yeah, land use appeals are very hard. You have to show that, whether it's the governing body or the zoning board, that they didn't follow the law at all, or that there was such a clear abuse of discretion as to make it an abuse of their discretion, and that the application should have been approved and not denied, or vice versa. So it's a very heavy burden when you get up to the Common Pleas Court. That's why you don't see many land use appeals that win, because most townships and most zoning hearing boards are very careful during the hearing to make a full record.
So it never gets past the Court of Common Pleas?
Never, not usually. There are cases that go up to the Commonwealth Court occasionally, and then the ones that have to go beyond that do. And when I say have to, it's like all these cases involving the standards that you just read about in that mock data center conditional use hearing conference document. Most of those cases involve the standards not being applied properly. And by that, I mean that, you know, it's not the burden. The burden is not on the applicant to show that there's no harm. The burden's on the applicant to meet the minimum standards of the ordinance. And once that's done, the burden shifts to the protestants to show that it's going to be a danger to the health, safety, or welfare of the residents. And solar farms are a lot of the cases now. Almost all of them that go up are warehouses and solar farms.
So you can word it. You can word adding these tests to the ordinance and have it valid, so that it's not something that can be overlooked.
I believe so. I've written down water quality and water use testing, electrical capability.
Electrical capability and effect on the community, right?
Yeah, and effect on community, lighting, and whether or not these new lights are on the verge of light pollution, glare studies, adequate emergency safety and evacuation plan, and
traffic studies
to be some type of environmental impact report as to water usage.
What about economic,
and noise?
Traffic study, noise, and a full report of all accessory uses.
Yeah, risk assessment too.
Well, the risk assessment would be part of the emergency response, right?
Right.
Emergency response risk assessment. That's the word I was looking for before.
Emergency response and risk assessment.
I've seen wells in the draft ordinance. Do you understand the difference between the test wells and monitoring wells? I have seen test wells and monitoring wells.
I think they're one and the same.
Yeah,
test wells and monitoring wells would be one and the same. Or used for the same purpose. So the water study would tell us whether you need testing wells, whether you need, you know,
monitoring wells.
Use of water in a water study. Yeah.
And these studies are not only for the main use, but also for any accessory use.
Well, when we get to the use of water, could that be a hyphen subject? Use of water, alternative cooling, or what? Mm-hmm. Or what methods would be used? water usage, cooling methods, what are there alternative cooling methods, something. I think monitoring wells and testing wells would come up with whatever they're gonna, if there was a water study.
Yeah.
I think we also need to point to that section of our ordinance that says that if your building is, if it's a large commercial building, it's more than 100 feet, that you need to have a little aesthetic value in there too, because I'm assuming that unlike in other places where they put them back into woods, this is going to be pretty close to the highway.
Well, I don't think we should care whether they're in the woods or where they are. I think they need to break the rhythm of the facade. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, most of the things that I've done with the warehouses and solar farms, they are a long way off of the public roadway.
Yeah, but so what do we care? If they're developing there, then it only stands to reason that there's going to be development around them.
Correct.
So why should we give them a free pass? When we know they're going to be the ones that eventually everybody's going to be looking at anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see the reasoning behind that.
Yeah, because you can't make them screen.
Can't make them do it afterwards.
You can't make them screen afterwards.
Yep.
That's right.
So I don't think there should be any leeway on the standards that.
Oh no,
not that they were out in the open. So is that everything, guys?
I got an email from Jill Gamboni this afternoon before I left the office. I think there's a presentation.
Johanna, can you bring your microphone a little closer? Thanks.
Yeah, I got an email from Jill Gamboni. She said that there is a presentation regarding data centers on May 15th. Do you want me to print it out for you?
Yep, if you would.
Okay,
yep.
Sure.
Where is that?
Here, 135 in Holly.
Oh, at his office?
Yes, in Holly, where usually the presentations happen. That's where it is. I'm going to print it.
Oh, we're at his
office. No, I think he usually uses Trant's office for that because he's got a bigger room.
So, are we missing something?
Well, was there anything about economic, like affecting property values in there too?
We do have that in a general conditional use, that it won't adversely affect the character of the neighborhood, which is usually interpreted that way.
I think you should point blank put economic impact in study.
I was just going to say that. If we're point blank in stuff, we might as well just make that a part of it.
And I think these standards should go with this and with the warehouse standards.
Oh, I agree.
Oh, yeah, I think that they should coincide with each other. But like you said, I don't think that they should.
I agree for this reason. I agree for one reason, guys, and that is because the future is going to dictate that these distribution warehouses are going to become fewer and fewer, and they're going to be converted to this.
Well, that's what we said all along, is what happens when the use is no longer needed. You know, technology changes quickly, and they're going to put up a million square foot building, and you know, like my computers at the shop. My computers at the shop started out this big by this big by this big. You know how big my computer is at the shop right now? It's almost no bigger than my cell phone. Yeah. And it holds 50 times the amount of storage that it had that I did when, you know, I started out with
two copies
with megabytes or whatever, megabytes downtown. Now we're into gigabytes, and I have many, many, many more gigabytes than I did megabytes. I'm talking like I know what I'm talking about, but I just know that there's more usage.
More
And it's literally a hundredth of the size. So as technology progresses, what's going to happen with these data centers? Are they, they're, I'm sure they're looking for something to consolidate size now. What happens when we got these big giant buildings that they don't use anymore?
Well, but where are we going to, where are we going to get common sense on this data storage?
The argument's been made that rather than build all these big buildings, we should just store our data in space at the satellites. And I know one particular entrepreneur that would just love to have that contract.
Well, what I mean by that is mower shops are going to buy fuel filters and condensers. Why do we have to know how many each purveyor has bought? We know that where does collecting this information just become
stupid?
Stupid. Exactly. I mean, why do they need to keep every one of our text messages and our emails and our...
Well, I can kind of answer that because I'm one of the ones that agrees with you, and I disagree with the Pennsylvania Bar and the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. I don't see why there's any reason why I should have to keep a record of a real estate transaction from 40 years ago, where all the documents are public record in the courthouse in Milford or Honesdale anyway. But yet I have to keep all these documents because they say I have to keep them. So it's all government regulation that is requiring this immense amount of information being stored.
The my cell phone now is telling me to comply with the law. They must have my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't give it to them. How are they complying with the law with a usage like that, that they have to have my birthday? As a matter of fact, when they go to the store and they ask me to give them a birthday, I give them 2/4/1920. That was my mother's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they don't question it.
And then one guy looked at me. He said, "You don't look like you're over 100." But well, the kids don't, because they just put whatever you tell them in, and then it's it.
They can't do math anyway.
But what
if a little red bar doesn't come up on the screen, they don't know.
Other than to sell me something or to figure out what they need to put in my front of my face, why do they need my birthday? There's no legal basis for them having my birthday.
And the sad part is like you can't go to a medical provider unless you give them your birthday.
That's the
all of their records are indexed by your birthday.
You go to pick up your prescriptions.
Yeah.
They want your birthday.
Well, that's that makes some sense. That's your personal stuff that you want to have, but to search on Google, they have to. What's the only reason for that is marketing.
Yeah. So that's how they target your searches, so they could create a profile, a better profile for you. Everything we're talking about right now, I guarantee it. If you type the first couple words in, the first couple letters into Google right now, if you type D, it's going to come up data centers, because they're listening. Fact.
Yep.
They are indeed.
Yeah.
I found that out the hard way.
So have I many times. Yeah, I've talked about obscure topics, and then a couple hours later or whatever, I'm like, maybe I'm gonna check on that. I got a few minutes now. First letter.
It's
always populates it.
Always comes up.
Yeah, always populates it.
The worst are these things here, because they're always listening.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Yeah, I got two of them.
Yeah.
It.
So why is that legal?
You know what?
Because we allowed it.
I don't believe it is. Okay, but I also don't have the wherewithal to fight the U.S. government. Because that's who's making these regulations.
So, no, we're way off the mark now. So,
well, yeah.
What else do we have?
I think I've got an adequate list. I'm going to discuss it with John and Nancy and try to get you something to look at.
Yeah, please let's get something for the workshop because we have to give the supervisor something.
Yep, I agree 100%.
Tomorrow morning, John is going to send Nancy the data center ordinances, the one from the county and the one from Green.
Okay.
And I sent her John's phone number and contact today.
Okay.
Have you had any contact with Nancy?
I asked Shahana to send her.
Has she been getting copies of what's being sent between the professionals?
No, they haven't sent anything.
Huh?
I don't think anything's been sent.
No.
No.
No. Well, it appears that it hasn't by the tone of her last letter.
Yeah.
And at the last meeting, I thought it was pretty clear that we want to make sure that she's in the loop. So please get her in the loop.
Sure. I'm hoping that when John sends that out tomorrow, we can set up a Zoom meeting, the three of us, and see if we can't put our heads together and come up with something.
Yeah, she is our planner. Decisions. We want to keep her.
Oh, can't you just CC her in the email?
Yeah,
I sent her info to John so that he could forward everything to her.
Okay.
I kind of think that it may not be a bad idea to have her zoom into the workshop too, but you know
she's talking about getting together on all this stuff for the 14th.
Okay.
I want her to have a copy of the stuff that you and John are working on so that she realizes we're doing something other than just worrying about revamping the entire ordinance. Her last letter, that's the only thing she thought that was on the
second Thursday of the month.
Yeah, so for the next workshop, be sure that she has a copy of everything we've done, and she's invited to that meeting. Because we have to produce something for the supervisor.
And Shahana, you're sending that out tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Okay. Right. I actually spoke to Shahana before the meeting about sending the data center warehouse and 407 to Nancy.
Okay. Yes, we have to get that to her.
Okay.
All right. Anything else, guys?
I think you need a motion to table all that stuff.
Yeah, make a motion that we table the rest of the agenda.
Well, we've tabled it. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's all there was. Data centers, zoning warehouse.
Yeah.
Well, we want to
comment, but I think we're out of comment, right?
Yeah, we want a motion to extend EconoPac because they haven't come back to us and they want to. So we're giving them a break as well. So we have a motion to table 4 through 8. Is that what I'm seeing?
Yeah.
Sure.
Correct.
Do I have that motion?
I'll make that motion.
I have a second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
No opposed. Thank you.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
We have no public participation, right?
No, I don't see any participants other than the two of us.
Right. Okay.
All right, I make a motion. We adjourn.
I'll second.